Welcome to Lodestone Logic. We're helping your business navigate its way to better events.
Well, no, because didn't you say people like to have fun?
They did, and we began recording, so the fun already begins. Yay!
Yay!
So welcome, everybody. I'm sitting here with Kristen Eilenberger, and we are Eilenberger. I know, time out, because that's wrong. Whoopsie doodle. So Kristen Eilenberg, who is the founder, CEO, chief minion. What do you call yourself?
I'm all of those and more.
Much. Look at you. Multifaceted.
I am.
Of Lodestone Logic, and which is, we've just decided, the name of this podcast, which is freaking awesome. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! So across the desk is bringing you Lodestone Logic because the Trusted Troublemakers was vetoed by Kristen, and since she owns that little moniker, I have to obey, but it is going to come up.
The trademarks in process, people.
Well, I think Trusted Troublemakers is a good name. I'm just saying. So my name is Elizabeth Plouffe. And I am the chief minion of MCV Communications, and I do small business communications and event planning. And I met the lovely Kristen a year ago.
Has it been that long? It feels like we've been like long lost sisters. I think that's what happened. It was magic.
We didn't have a lodestone. That's what it was. And we'll explain. We'll explain what that means. But we met through the Intelligent Health Association, which was awesome. And then we've sort of spun off ourselves. You need to move yourself into the middle of the camera, honey. You're trying to hide. There we go. And so Kristen offers a really, really cool product that as an event planner, I got very excited. And I seem to recall squealing with great happiness when you were demonstrating the dashboard and everything that happens. And so very welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm
going to get all cheesy because I'm not media trained. So it is like one of those things where I feel like it's like I got to do the head nods and all that,
you know. You do you, baby.
I'll try.
You do.
And you know me, I'm a total data geek. So for me to,
you're going to fangirl?
I'm like, you know, just give me an Excel spreadsheet and I'm a happy person. And then instead you're like, I'm going to record you. I'm going to put you on camera. And I'm like, okay, that's great.
If you need to hold on to a spreadsheet while we do this, just to make you more comfortable, like a Linus security blanket.
You know what?
Next time she's on it. You'll know people. She will have an Excel spreadsheet in her hands and she'll be like,
let me just do a calculation really quick.
All right, let's get serious.
Okay.
What we're going to talk to you guys about, it's really cool. So again, from an event planner's perspective, one of the hardest things to do is to make recommendations to an organization, to a client, on the events that they should be participating in. And especially if you're an SME and you are on the smaller end of the organizations, and it's really important to get out to the correct events, to meet with the correct people. And it's a lot of pressure from an event planner's perspective to make sure that that organization's budget is done correctly. And so up until now, I've been doing events now 10 years. So, I mean, I'm not new to the party. It's been based on either events that I've attended or events that came across my email or what have you. And I didn't realize there was such a rich amount of data available to make a much better, more informed decision. And not only is it about what events you should be attending, it's about what speakers you should be having at your own events, where you should be having your events, who's actually coming there. This is the one I found really eye-opening, and I won't name names, but when you revealed that the event numbers that some organizations put out include, as attendees, the vendors and the whatever, that's not a true reflection of how many unique visitors are coming to the event. And I did not know that. So I see why you call yourself the Trusted Troublemaker, because that's extremely, it's really important.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is you know, people get enamored with the numbers that they hear from event organizers when they say, we've got 5,000 people coming to this event.
I know. And your eyes just like, ah!
Yeah, and you're like, oh, 5,000 people, I have to be there kind of thing. It's going to be a good size. Or 25,000. Or, you know, Dreamforce is, last year was 170,000, which basically just took over the city of San Francisco. But what you have to build into that is the number of people who are there purely for exhibition.
Yep.
So they're not attendees in the sense of the types of targets that people have that they want to sell to. So when you think about conferences and you see that they've got, let's just go with that 5,000 number. If you've got 100 of those, and I know this is going to be crazy math, if 100 of them are exhibitors and each of those exhibitors got 5 tickets, guess what? That's 100% exhibitors.
Yep.
There's really no attendees there. It's all exhibitors of that 5,000. So you really have to be cognizant of how many exhibitors are on the exhibit floor, how many sponsors are there, and how many tickets or packages are being purchased by the ones that want to sell versus the ones that are there to speak and or to pay for registration to attend to learn.
So we're jumping ahead to podcast 2, but that's okay, because this is going to whet everybody's appetite for the fabulousness that you provide. Because I can say from an event planner, from a procurement perspective, from the departments who are making the decisions, from the CEO all the way down, this is really important information to have. So what we're going to do today is we're going to backtrack a little bit from what we just talked about. So now you audience wise, you kind of know what's going to be coming. And Kristen's level of data mining is truly inspiring. And I can say the dashboard made me squeal like a fangirl. So we can maybe, you know, next podcast, I'll have her bring up a dashboard. We'll see if I can replicate the...
The thing that's so funny is that now I see you like as a Snapchat filter of like with fangirl, like just like a head.
Maybe that'll be my profile for our marketing for this. I'll do a Snapchat with like the flower crown, with like exploding ears or something like that. I'm going to get all catawampy.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So one of the things that we're going to talk about is, so tell me about the birth of Lodestone Logic. Tell me about
Well, you know, it's
hear about you.
Because whenever somebody embarks on building a company, it's hard to sit there and say, how am I going to name my company? Because I'm so unique and all this kind of stuff. And
sorry, that's inside.
It is. It's true.
And it is. Yeah.
And a lot of people make up words thinking that that's going to, you know, that that's a great representation of who they are. That's the creative spirit of things.
Yeah.
And I was like having a brainstorming session with a friend of mine. And I said, well, you know, we were making up all these words. And I said, but you know, nothing is as good as lodestone. And he goes, what's a lodestone? And I said, well, a lodestone is a naturally occurring rock that has magnetic properties. And it was the material that was put in the original compasses that the Viking, actually there's a whole bunch of whether or not it was the Vikings or the Mongols that realized that this rock could help them build compasses.
None of them are going to search for the copyright on that, so it's okay.
Okay. So the thing that's interesting about that is that those compasses allowed those civilizations to go on journeys.
Right.
Be able to find new lands and then, you know, eventually return home with the riches. And when I thought about what I and my team want to do for our clients is we want to help them map out their journeys, go on those journeys, and then reap the benefits from going on those journeys. And that's why we thought Lodestone was the best way to frame up what we do in Logic, of course, is because we just love data.
Logic makes me happy. Surprisingly, I am also a spreadsheet girl. Nothing makes me happier than organizing. It's so sad. I can remember living in Montreal, 5 years old, would not clean my own house. But my neighbor, Mrs. Kennedy, she'd be like, Elizabeth, do you want to come? And I'd be like, yes, please. Because going and organizing other people's stuff just makes me very happy. It's kind of like office supplies, but a little bit better.
Oh, my.
Okay. Office supplies.
I'm learning a lot about you right now.
So sad. Yeah. Oh, and there you go. If anybody can hear that thumping, that's my dog upstairs, you know, scratching, which is super awesome. So Lodestone Logic, I'm going to flip over here that you can't see and look at your website here. And it's just going to, here we go. I'm going to read about you.
Oh, okay.
I am. So about Lodestone Logic. Lodestone Logic, founded in 2010, provides end-to-end solutions that span from business intelligence, strategic planning, project management, branding and communications, to open innovation coaching and consulting. I should have taken a deeper breath. In addition, Lodestone Logic is a global organization that specializes in the design and facilitation of high-impact networks of multiple stakeholders, another breath, focused on specific cause or topic and immersion events in the healthcare and pharmaceutical arena.
Yes.
Need to learn how to use a period.
You know, okay. the commas are there to give you that chance for the breath. You're just,
gotcha.
You know.
I just didn't take that chance.
You were pushing the boundaries.
That's what I do. Trusted troublemaker. Yeah. I'm just saying. So our clients include nonprofit organizations, governments, academic institutions, pharmaceutical companies, and healthcare systems. Ooh, there's more about you. We're just going to go a little further.
Okay.
Kristen has been passionately pursuing innovative pharmaceutical and healthcare strategies and business models for her entire career. She has spent over 17 years in the pharmaceutical industry, most recently with Eli Lilly and Company, where she did work in various areas such as new ventures, clinical and product development, sales and marketing, and information technology. By founding Lodestone Logic in 2010, raise the roof, Kristen is tapping all of her skills to do work and projects that will produce more patient-centric models and accelerate the transformation of healthcare to deliver better patient outcomes. And hallelujah.
Well, all I have to say is all of that, basically, we have been fortunate to have clients that have difficult challenges ahead of them. And we bring together some of the world's experts in digital health and innovation and pharmaceutical drug development. And we help figure out how do you solve those challenges? How do you get them beyond where they are today? And we have worked on projects with major organizations to drive conversations. Because a lot of times it's just figuring out how do you get the right stakeholders around the table.
Right.
To have constructive conversations to do something beyond where we are today. And that's what we've done with Lodestone time and time and time again. And we've just been really fortunate that we've got people who know that what we do and how we do it. And they reach out and they say, look, we don't know which way is up. We need help. Will you help us? And that's what we do.
So the cool thing is, so how did then out of that, because so Lodestone is your primary company, which is awesome. And then out of that came LodeScore,
yes,
which is industry agnostic. So while Lodestone Logic is primarily focused in the pharma and healthcare, LodeScore can be for any industry. It's any organization that is looking to maximize their event and conference budget.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about how, because I can read, I'm going to read again. That's
okay.
What I do. So did you know, according to the LodeScore website, each year in the United States, there are an estimated 1.8 million conventions, conferences, trade shows, and exhibition meetings. I am exhausted just reading that number.
I didn't write that sentence. That's actually like a known statistic.
Oh, can you imagine trying to navigate all of that and not having your product? That would be painful.
That's just the U.S.
I'm a Canadian. I don't know what we got up here.
No.
In 2015.
You have a handful up there too, by the way.
What's that?
You have a handful up there.
We got a few. Oh, here's my mom. Interesting. In 2015, these events are estimated to attract 247 million participants with an estimated direct spending of $298 billion. When combined with other indirect effects, the conference industry contributes $393 billion annually to the U.S. GDP, that's gross domestic product, estimates put this figure over at $1 trillion globally. I'd love to be able to say that. I have $1 trillion in my bank account without being like Dr. Evil from, you know.
I would love that too. Trust me.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice.
With all of the individual and company activities that happen at conferences, they are a rich data resource that can be used for business intelligence and proactively monitoring movements within a sector. From scientific innovation to product launches to new partnerships and relationships to trending topics and new perspectives from thought leaders and domain experts, private equity firms, investment banks, business development professionals, consulting groups, and academic institutions attend conferences to gather information to influence decisions tied to stock and portfolio investments, mergers and acquisitions, identification of new customers, and the development of new products and services. So it's interesting because as I read that out loud, obviously I attend or create events for a completely different perspective, right? So I would never even consider the fact that by not using the event budget correctly, and not that I've ever done it incorrectly, but I mean, when you look at it from a financial perspective, financial organization perspective, the whole merger and acquisition, it's like this is, you know, sort of the golf course of events, is those kinds of large deals happening.
Well, and it's the competitive intelligence. I mean, we've talked to many of the investment firms, and they basically say that they send their analysts for competitive boots on the ground intelligence to be in the room when announcements are being made. And I mean, as a conference organizer, you want to put together the best, most relevant agenda to attract the audience that will want to be in that room to learn whatever is being shared. And from a different perspective, from a business competitive standpoint, it's essential to have the right people there to be able to get that information that's going to influence whether or not a stock price is going to go up a tick or go down. And conferences, I mean, and all you have to do is read the newspaper on a daily basis or any of your threads of an announcement was made at this conference, an announcement was made at this conference, to recognize that these things are happening and it's happening en masse. So how do you, as an individual within a business, use the fact that conferences are a strategic channel? It's very much like media buys and those kinds of things, but nobody's been able to dial in how do you track conferences en masse and then be able to distill it down into the relevant bits and bytes that are going to influence the decisions that you make, whether it's just strategy or it's an investment play on, okay, now we see that this conference is now moving up and more of our people that we want to influence with our branding is going to be there. So we're going to exhibit this year and we're going to put $500,000 or $1 million behind our booth to make sure that we, you know, really show up and we've got the right kind of presence at these meetings. And that's really starting to be more of a conversation in corporate America of I don't have limitless budgets. I have a budget. How do I know with the thousands of conferences that I potentially could be at, which ones are the ones that are going to give me the most bang for my buck based off of my business objectives? And that is, I mean, time and time and time again, I wished it was a secret sauce of, you know, if you're company XYZ, here are the four that you have to be at. Yeah. But in cases, it's a conversation with our clients of who are your customers? Who are your competitors? What's your objective over the next 12 to 18 months?
Your growth goals and scaling.
Like, what products are you rolling out? What are your new service lines that you want to communicate out? Who do you think your target audiences are? Not just like names of the companies, but the types of people. And then we go into the database that we've built to be able to say, okay, you know, dial this and dial this and dial this. Here are your top conferences that you should consider. And then we even go as far as saying to them, and based off of your budget, whether it's 250,000 or 4 million, 5 million, whatever it is.
This I'm is saying 5,000, not 5 million.
5,000, yeah. We can help those folks too, because we have just a basic calendar, which doesn't exist anywhere else. If you try to go out to Eventbrite and try to find these meetings, it's not going to show up.
It's not going to show up to the level. I mean, I've seen one of your days. So we've got about 5 minutes to finish explaining to people, you know, what you do and the value and what have you. And I definitely see from a larger organization the value, but you also from the other side of that, when you are a smaller organization, really trying to manage your pennies, you know, when it comes down to the choice between product development or expanding your staff or attending events, you know, you really are cutting the wire on what you're going to be spending your budget on. And without data like yours, people are making choices that are affecting the success of their company. I mean, it's that, you know, businesses can be made or broken depending on where they show up, you know, I mean.
Well, for example, HIMSS, which is a healthcare IT, major healthcare IT conference here in the United States.
Been there.
You know, 42,000 people attended it this year. And when we did our data crunch of it, and we compared this year's exhibit floor compared to the exhibit floors since 2014.
Yep.
They've got typically between 1,100 to 1,400 exhibitors on the exhibit floor. So it's a big meeting. Mm-hmm. And what we can see is only 87 companies have been on the exhibit floor since 2014.
What does that mean?
So if you think about, if you sit there and say, you know, if you've got 1,300 exhibitors for 4 years, you're looking at, and I got to do the calculator, 7,000 potential opportunities to exhibit, and only 87 companies have made it all 4 years.
Yeah.
Because there's such a churn. And to your point, the reason why, and I would love to get access to like an academic institution and a bunch of students to crunch through this, to be able to see what happened to the companies once they exhibited at HIMSS. Did they get acquired? Did they choose not to exhibit at HIMSS again? Or did they put everything that they possibly could on the field at HIMSS, spent a big boatload of money, everything that they had, and it didn't convert for them because it wasn't the right meeting for them.
And they couldn't go on. Yeah.
And they couldn't go on.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I hear, and this is just because I run in the startup crowd, and a lot of them hedge on HIMSS being the make or break.
Not that we're picking on HIMSS, because this could apply to any large name conference. This is just happens to be the example that's coming up now. But
and I mean, we've looked at evaluations. We've already started to do evaluations of Dreamforce, which is another mega one where everybody, you know, you have to be at Dreamforce if you are a Salesforce partner.
Right.
And so you have to just game up if you want to continue to be a Salesforce partner. So there's things that companies should know, and that's where LoadScore and the type of insights that Lodestone can provide to companies who are sitting there scratching their head and going, you know, our budget is our budget and we've got to work within our budget, but we have goals and objectives when it comes to sales and brand presence. Where is the right fit for us? And how do we do that? And you can actually now, instead of just doing this, you know, I've been in meetings just recently where they're like, yeah, we basically just throw darts at a dartboard.
Spaghetti on the wall. Yeah.
Spaghetti on the wall, all these kinds of things. Or, well, we were there last year. We're going to be there next year.
Apathy. It's an apathetic decision that it's easy. You know what to expect and it fits into your budget versus, you know,
Spending
the money to be strategic and in the long run end up maximizing your presence, maximizing your budget. And we're going to get into it. I'm just going to tease people with a few of the things that we're going to get into. And one of the questions that I had asked you was the five biggest pain points you solve. So I'm just going to quickly. So drive better decisions about what conferences to go to as far as attending, speaking, sponsoring, and exhibiting, which we haven't brought up three of those. Based on competitive information about your customers, competitors, and topics that you care about. So you may choose an event or a conference and not have the full information around whether you can even speak intelligently at that particular event. Because if you don't have the education and the experience, you shouldn't be talking about it. Improve coordination of resources before and at and after conferences. So I mean, that's an accumulation of human resources, communications, procurement, all of those different departments that have to come together for events. And when you're choosing the wrong ones, you're wasting everybody's time. And I don't know that organizations ever truly measure the full ROI on having all of those departments dedicated to getting ready for this event and then finding out it's the wrong event.
Right.
A single simple dashboard to track decisions and outcomes. And that's the client access data, the dashboard that we saw that time, which is very cool. So if you become a client of Lodestone Logic and use the LoadScore tool, then you yourself can go in and do some of the work and have a look and make some decisions and then use Lodestone Logic to really drill down and guide you into the best use of your budget and your time.
Yep.
And then measuring ROI. You know, are you truly, when you send, you know, Billy Bob, Sally, Tom, and Frank to a conference to the tune of, I think we worked it out. You have this calculator on the load score site, which I just love. And it actually calculates the true cost of sending one person to an event, including time lost and hotel travel, you know, per diem and all that kind of stuff. And then you multiply it by these huge teams that you choose to send to the wrong event. This can be right. Tens of thousands of dollars that you're wasting per year.
Yes.
Because you're not using load score, you silly people.
That's right. That's right.
What we're going to get into, we're going to wrap up the get to know you, but we're going to be getting into what the actual costs are involved in a conference, because I didn't even know some of it. And I can say I've been doing this for a while. The parameters that you recommend around how is a conference the right fit for you, and evaluations and all that kind of stuff, and maybe your evaluation process of events and organizations that are providing. We're also going to be talking about data segmentation and market segmentation, so that you are actually attending the events that make the most sense for growth goals, which I don't, people seem to plan events based on the now versus the future. Right. And maybe that's
the allowable budget. So I think that, and it's just, well, we were given X amount this year to spend on conferences and trade shows, so we're going to spend that money.
Yep. Versus
what we know from the past.
Yeah.
The past is
crazy talk.
Well, and I'll just throw this in as an additional just point of fact. A lot of the thought of the big meetings is changing because companies haven't gotten their ROI, or they haven't gotten the translation to revenue. And
right.
So what we're seeing, and this is the challenge of tracking all of this activity, is a lot of smaller, more unique, niche types of meetings bubbling up that are specific to a targeted audience, which for a company that has services or has individuals that want to learn about that topic, it's an awesome place to create like the conversations that need to be had, the solutions that need to be built, all of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see the bubbling up of all of these smaller, more niche conferences when you look en masse.
Yep.
And that's the opportunity for a lot of people who are looking for the right learning experiences, the right opportunities to network and connect.
Yep.
And then ultimately for the opportunities for people who have services that can serve them to be in the room with them versus lost in the mass.
Multiple opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So we are going to wrap up our very first Lodestone Logic Across the Desk, which is awesome. And you'll see us in a few minutes again with the exact same outfits, because we're not changing. Because it's not about the outfits, it's about the information. And so we are your, I'm going for it. We are your trusted troublemakers. So again, I'm Elizabeth Kloof with MCV Communications. And Kristen, you can give your thing. Go.
Yeah, I'm Kristen Eilenberg, founder of Lodestone Logic.
And LoadScore.
And LoadScore.
Oh, yeah, that important product we're talking about.
That's what it is. She's training me. She's going to get me. You're giving me my media 401 straight out of the shot.
And let me just see. You know what? One thing I didn't get from you was, are you? You are. So hang on. So just a moment, please. We're going to give you social media information.
Oh,
so
yes.
You can find some information on LoadScore at LoadScore, which is really simple on Twitter. And
L-O-D-E. Score,
as opposed to LOAD. Oh man,
LODE score.
Gotcha. And MCV Communications is on Twitter. We're at MCV Ploof. We got Instagram. We got all kinds of social media stuff coming up, but that's going to be popping up at the end of the video. But go visit LodestoneLogic.com, LODE, and LoadScore, LODE score, to learn more about how this organization and this amazing data tool can help you just do so much. Like it's far beyond the data and the metrics and the ROI. There's so much more that this can be used to create success, which is fabulous. So we will be. What's that?
I appreciate your advocacy. I mean, it feels so good, you know, it's like, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I've done it. And I don't, so here's what somebody, who was it? I can't remember. Somebody said to me once about, you know, people sitting across the desk, and here's what I told them, and which is my mantra, is that I don't have anybody sitting across the desk from me, regardless if they, you know, paid whatever, unless I can believe in what they're doing. And that's part of my core value, is that I can't do that. I can't promote something or advocate for something that is not truly providing value. So I'm putting my reputation behind me, behind you.
Behind me.
Behind us. It's behind us.
You know, I'm going to behave myself.
Yeah, that's not worth it. I don't. So it's all good in the hood. So join us again. We have a series going on. So this is awesome. And then if you have any questions or interest or anything like that, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, you can pop it down in the comments section. If you're watching this on YouTube, hello. You can pop some comments down there as well for Kristen, and it'll just help us keep going and keep helping you and your organization do a better and better job of maximizing your event and conference success. And that's it. We're going to say goodbye. She's done speaking. I'm over. You're dead to me, Fredo. I navigate with you no more. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. You can visit www.lodestonelogic.com to learn more about how LodeScore can help your business, and you can visit MCB Communications to see what I get up to.